five, four, three.
What's up? What's up? Welcome back to John G's Fantasy Hustle. I'm your host, John, and we got a sidekick, Brad, over here in his Dan Marino jersey circa 1990. Pretty cool Dolphins patches on the side. Starter sign, that's obviously triples the cost. And I must say, looking pretty styling there after that last night's victory there.
I had to bust it up after that, man. I was on top of the world, man. Feeling good.
Oh, don't get too happy. Of course, we got our... You know, Mr. EP Stretton Jovanovic. Missing the hand signals over here, but it's all right.
Is that a cat or a siren?
Both.
Oh, okay.
It's a cat or siren.
A cat. Anna.
Cat siren.
There you go. I like it. Getting into week 14 here. First week of the playoffs for a majority of teams. I don't know, Brad, do you have any first round buys this week?
Yeah, and all three of my leagues, I had first round bye and one, had to win the first round of the playoffs, and then last week of the regular season, it was basically a play-in game for me, which I won. So everything's coming up, Brad, right now. So week 15, I'm still alive.
Don't count on it. But an interesting week of football, to say the least, right? First off, Thursday night game, New Orleans Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons, you know? Not too bad of a game there for Drew Brees. I'll say this. They were definitely affected by the absence of Alvin Kamara after he got injured there, which also hurt my fantasy lineup too, but it's all good. I was able to possibly get a W by 0.8 points. We'll see stat correction change that possibly, but on the other side of the ball, the Atlanta Falcons didn't look too shabby themselves. Julio came in 5 for 98. Devontae Freeman, you could tell, is getting a lot more of his carries, getting back in the groove. So that's obviously good for Atlanta fans, and this is a big win for them trying to get into the playoffs. So I think all around it was pretty solid. And Michael Thomas, 10 for 117 in a TD. Looking like they're ready to kind of move ahead at the right time, to say the least.
Yeah, the entire NFC was kind of jumbled up and thrown up for grabs this week, and this is the start of it. I mean, Atlanta needed this win. Saints were trying to get in that picture for the first round bye, and a guy you didn't touch on there for Atlanta, Sanu had a solid game, 6 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. They just keep, winning these tough games. They beat Saints, they beat the Seahawks, so they got some quality wins. I believe they beat the Packers early in the year before Rodgers went down. So maybe this Atlanta team now, with all what's going on in the NFC, maybe they're a team that can get back to the Super Bowl.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see here. And obviously, that's a pretty tough division game. And it'll be honestly pretty intriguing to see if they're going to be able to, they'll probably play each other, possibly, in that first round there, assuming things go certain ways. So something to definitely keep our eye out on. Next game, Colts and a snowy one against the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, they're falling short here, 7-13. Had Dot a little bit upset down in Indy. He must say, I went and visited down there a couple weeks ago, had a good time, and Dot came out and said that he was a Pacer fan now, disregarding the Chicago Bulls, which I think is that right there admits you're a Colts fan too, right?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I mean, if you're starting to like the Pacers, who really have given no one anything to like the last few years. I don't know how you can like the Colts when, since Peyton's been gone, they've just been kind of meandering and or really awful at times, especially without Luck. So
I will give him credit, though.
Poor guy.
To his defense, he said that I claim him as a Colts fan, and he's like, are you kidding me? I go Jebediah Springfield, Peyton Manning's fucking head right now. And I feel like those are proper enough words to be like, hey, all right, maybe we believe you. Maybe we believe you. But on that side of the things, LeSean McCoy, pretty big game. You know, I knew the minute I seen all that snowfall that he was going to play a pretty solid game. I mean, every time remember when he was on the Eagles, and I believe they played in Buffalo, I think.
No, it was in Philly.
Was it in Philly?
Against the Lions in 2013. Yeah, I got the stats right here. He's
Well, go ahead there, fun boy.
In those two games, in that game in 2013 and this game this weekend, he has 61 carries because that's all you do in these games.
Oh, yeah.
You can't throw the ball. He has 373 yards and three touchdowns. He forced 16 missed tackles in those two games. And all it is, like you said there, I mean, he was so good that year against the Lions for Philly, and he was so good this time because he makes one cut, and that's it, and he's so fast, and he just goes, and everyone just kind of with their feet caught in, you know, slippery situations, basically like they have, they have no traction at all, so he just gets it and goes, and he scored the big game winner there. I mean, his stats for this game, 32 carries, and whenever you get carries, that number of carries, it's awesome, so he had 156 yards and a touchdown, and
they kind of got to hope every game is like that from here on out, though, because, I mean,
they have one game in sunny Miami, so I don't know if that's going to be the case for them, but who knows? You never know what kind of weather you're going to get in December, so. And then on the other side of the ball, Frank Gore, career high, 36 carries. He had 130 yards, so it just goes to show, no matter, and it's not a great yards per carry, but 130 yards for a running back, that's a solid game.
Indeed, indeed. Next game, Lions 24, Buccaneers 21. Pretty interesting there. I did not think that it was going to kind of play out that way. Tampa Bay Bucks actually held on a little bit closer than I thought they were going to. I know Stafford was a little bit shook up. He got the green light. Marvin Jones didn't have too big of a game, but Golden Tate looked all right. It looked like it's kind of funny there in Detroit just how you never know what receiver is going to take the helm. And the fact that they have that option is pretty good, especially coming from the side of Chicago Bears as a Bears fan. That you got nobody. You got practice squad guys. But
The surprising Ebron there with 94 yards on 10 catches is the big surprise that jumps out there. And, you know, Theo Riddick's known for his pass catching. He had 64 yards. And he also had two touchdowns rushing, which is a pretty big surprise. Stafford threw for 381 yards, so there's plenty of yardage to go around for everybody. And then on the other side of the ball, a guy you really liked coming into this game for the Bucks, Cameron Brate had the big game week 13, and we kind of agreed that they kind of flip-flopped the tight ends, Howard and Brate, and Howard ended up with 54 and a touchdown, so a very good week out of a tight end.
Yeah, we'll see if that trend continues here. I mean, obviously they don't have a lot to play for. Jameis Winston's back, which I know that's good, at least for ticket sales and putting people in them seats, but aside from that, they're not going anywhere fast. And their defense, which looked like they were primed for a decent sized season this year, just kind of let everyone down. So that'll be something to monitor here later on in the future. Cowboys 30, Giants 10. Not too big of a surprise there. You know what I mean? I like that back that they had featured there this week. I mean, he had a pretty good game. Really good game.
Yeah, Rod Smith.
I think that he's going to be that option until Zeke gets back. And, you know, it's only my opinion, but at this point, if you're the Cowboys, well, is it really worth bringing Zeke back for one game?
You figure they're still going to give Morris his fair share of carries because 2 weeks ago he had that really big game for Dallas against Washington. So it is kind of, you don't really know what they're going to do. It's one of those tough situations for running backs. Rod Smith, the guy had six carries, 47 yards, though, touchdown. And he had a huge, I think, 80-yard touchdown catch. Finished the day with 113 yards receiving as well. But Dak kind of came back. But this is, again, against a bad Giants defense who didn't have a whole lot to play for. But luckily, I mean, Dallas' schedule is pretty easy. They got Oakland this week, so it may be a sign of more things to come for that pass attack for Dak. So we'll see, but yeah, when Zeke gets back, which will be week 16, which will be championship week for a lot of us, so it'll be interesting if you're still alive and kicking for the championship.
You're right, if you are here. Like I said, it was a pretty interesting week. A lot of good games, a lot of upsets, and a lot of surprises to say the least. But
there's some pretty high scoring players this week.
Oh, there definitely was. There definitely was. Next game, which we thought was going to be one of the premier games of the year, Oakland at Kansas City. Oakland 16, Kansas City 31.
Welcome back, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. I mean, out of nowhere. Luckily, I started him in the one league that kind of possibly helped me skate through. But, you know, after that type of play, do you start him this week? It's playoff. It's no time for, you know.
Yeah, it's tough to sit him and say, well, I'll see what he does because you may not have another chance to play him. Yeah, they got the Chargers, though, on Saturday night. That's a team that's really playing tough, so it's a tough call there. But, hey, 116 yards on 25 carries, and that's the key, 25 carries. He hasn't had that kind of usage in a very long time, and he showed this is what you got to do. You know, Hill and Kelsey had decent games, but the Raiders, Cooper, he got hurt again. He got rolled up on his ankles, was already pretty banged up.
Even though he sucks this
year. But you know what? Cook had a really nice touchdown.
He's Lynch a good a guy. Touchdown. He always fills in, man, and that's something that you need, especially in that tight end position. You know, it's such a solid.
It's so rough.
Straight up the middle. I mean, especially blocking. I mean, we haven't had any really good tight ends, and obviously Gronk served his suspension this week. But, you know, Jared Cook's definitely been, I'd say, probably one of the most underrated tight ends this year. Progressed a lot better than I think anyone else that we really thought. You know, Delaney Walker slowly starting to come around. Yeah. Like you said, your Cameron Braid's beat there, but
outside of, you know, like Kelsey, Gronk, and Ertz, it's been up and down for most of these guys all year. But Cook's been pretty steady. Like, it hasn't been a high ceiling, but the floor's been pretty high, and that's what you need. You need a good, solid 5-6 points out of that position because it's so up and down and bad this year.
I agree. And I think the one thing that has helped him, and you could tell between his stats, that a lot of the games when either Crabtree's out and they don't have that second weapon there on offense, he really can't put forth as much as he normally should be doing. But, you know, with that said, it was, wasn't too shabby of a game. But, yeah, you know, Kansas City and Oakland, I think Chiefs definitely have established that. Maybe they're on the upward trend here. So it'll be exciting for the sake of playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tariq Hill, you know, I realize that this guy just averages like at least 18 yards, 20 yards a catch. It's unbelievable. Just, you know, even the games that he has only three, four receptions, he's almost at 100 yards. And it's like, wow.
Because even when he gets a little screen pass, he makes something big happen. I mean, usually you hit him for the big stuff, but they try to give him that screen pass because he is so shifty and can do good things. And I mean, he's a big play home run type guy. So you figure he's going to, you know, he's a boomer bust, basically. If you get a team that can shut him down on those deep balls, then he's pretty much in trouble because he's not going to give you a great route tree. So 75 yards from him this week was a good, solid game from him.
Not bad. Not bad. Jimmy Garoppolo coming in 2 in a row, 26-16 over Tom Savage and the Texans. Not too big over there on Lamar Miller's point. He didn't have too crazy of a game, which, you know, given the situation and their quarterbacks, there's not going to be a huge jump in anyone's. And obviously, Hopkins is going to have his stats are going to go up a lot more. But aside from that, on the other side of the ball, I mean, Will Fuller hasn't done shit since Watson went down. There's just been a lot of fallout on that side of the ball. Yeah. I mean, you know, the defense was depleted. Marquise Goodwin, you know, a guy that did good against the Bears. I mean, I added him. I thought it was a solid add, and it worked out. I mean, 6 for 106. I'll take that. I'll take that all day.
I played him in one league, too. I put him in for Baldwin with a tough matchup. So, I mean, either way, it was good. But, yeah, you know, you get 100 yards out of a guy, and especially the guy with that kind of speed who can put up a big, you know, 50-yard touchdown catch at any moment. What you're talking on, you were talking about the quarterback situation kind of there with the Texans, and I don't know if you saw that hit that Savage.
Oh yeah, he was.
I don't understand for a second how anyone can see that and think, oh yeah, let's put this guy back in there.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw that. I'm like, oh boy, that is brain damage. Are on the field right now? He's like a fish out of water, and I'm like, it was unbelievable.
It's the NFL.
It's not like we're talking about Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz or some of these big guys. This is a guy that hasn't done anything all year, and TJ Yates goes in there 14 for 26.
Let me ask you this. TJ Yates, has he been like their third string quarterback for like ever?
Well, I think he's been their second string forever, and then they drafted Watson and he became their third string. So when Watson got hurt, yeah, he became their second. I mean, keep in mind, TJ Yates has won a playoff game. beat the Bengals 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. So, of course, that was mainly because the Bengals and Marvin Lewis can't win playoff games. Mm-hmm. And that defense was really damn good for the Texans. But, yeah, TJ Yates went in there, 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. So maybe that is a sign for Will Fuller to kind of step up. But, you know, Hopkins going forward, he's going to be Yates' favorite target, and he's going to get a ton of more targets.
Well, when you go 11 for 149 and 2 TDs, I mean, I'd be throwing you all day, too.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of things, Garoppolo, over 300 first game. So something to look out for here. Maybe he's starting to kind of get his confidence there. And
yeah.
I mean, even when we talk about his side of the ball, what weapons he has, I mean, it's pretty limited. I'd say it's above par, obviously, from the Chicago Bears. Bears got the running game, definitely, but I think that the Niners, I mean, they're a team that the quarterback is making things happen there.
Well, I mean, league-wide, their receivers are below average for sure. They're probably above the Bears, like you said, but I don't know, that's still a tough one because outside of Goodwin, I don't really know anyone else on that team. I mean, the tight end, Kittle, I believe his name is, and Carlos Hyde's still a decent back, but he's no Jordan Howard. So
they got a little streaky returner and Taylor, I want to say. And
yeah, he had a good game against the Bears, but
decent playmakers.
Yeah, but I mean, Garoppolo's getting it done, and he's just seeing those dollar signs, man. 2-0.
Let them pour in. Packers come back to beat the Cleveland Browns. Man, that was a tough one there. Hear about?
Oh man, 27-21. Our one Cleveland Brown fan out there. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Yes. My heart goes out to you. Heart goes out to you, my man. But Hundley, 265, 3 TDs, starting to move the ball a little bit more, you know. Obviously, just the two people, Davante Adams and Jamal Williams. But,
yeah,
you know, what are you going to do? Obviously, Jordy Nelson's not there yet. I really want to know what's going on there. You know what I mean? Jordy Nelson's such a supposedly all-pro receiver, able to just split the corner and the safety and hop.
They're just not throwing it deep at all to anybody. They're not going anything more than like 15 yards down the field. And, I mean, even the two Adams touchdowns, Adams had 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both of those were shorter passes that, I don't know, maybe he caught somewhere in that 7 to 12-yard range and then just ran in for the rest because he's a really good playmaker in that regard. I don't know if Nelson can do things in the open field with, you know, tacklers approaching him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can make those shifty moves. I think he's got straight line speed, but not the agility of a Davante Adams clearly has. So that's what's hurting him there because Hundley can't throw. They're not willing to let him throw it deep. And like you said, Williams, again, another, you know, 2 touchdown game, 49 yards rushing, 69 yards receiving. So those are the two guys right now, unless Rodgers comes back this week, which we don't know yet. That are
so. Do you keep Williams going?
I think you have to. I mean,
Aaron Jones is back here.
They because Aaron Jones played this week and didn't get a whole lot of action. It was all Williams.
Personally, I feel like they need to just keep rolling with Williams.
Yeah, you just keep rolling with Williams. They have a tough matchup in Carolina this week, so it was Cleveland. You know, I mean, you know, Cleveland's things all every week. So. But speaking of Cleveland,
Carell
had a nice game.
He had a nice game, but most importantly, Josh Gordon dropped the one-hitter, man, and fucking went in there and grabbed that bad boy.
He only had 3 catches, but he did have a touchdown and 69 yards. So, you know, 2 straight weeks now, he's put up decent numbers. This week was, you know, 69 and a touchdown's a solid week. So maybe you got 3 more weeks here to see him actually play football. Maybe he can, you know, turn himself back into a top 20 receiver.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see when that next suspension hits in. It'll probably be like week 17. And then it'll be, I think, one more and he's done forever, right?
Yeah, well, at that point, I mean, you should just say, you know what? We'll give you this. Just give him a bag of weed and say, go enjoy retirement.
He probably would, too.
Oh, like, absolutely. Like,
fuck it, eh?
Did I get that weed?
What is this swag? Bobby Brown? Get this shit out of here. But next game, so let me give you a brief definition of what I got into this week. My brother wanted to re-roof his house, so I go over there Saturday, start ripping up the shingles, and starts just pouring on a snowfall. So obviously we got cut short a little bit, tarped it off. Sunday comes, and it's like, all right, We got some Joniak on the radio screaming. And all I hear is him screaming, and I'm on the roof just like, really? The one good game this year I'm going to miss. Which, you know, is nice. This roof's looking nice, but bottom line is the Bears kicked the shit out of the Bengals. I mean, kicked the shit out of them. 33-7.
I enjoy it.
I'm going to enjoy it, but I know it doesn't last too long because, you know, my nephew was inside. I stopped in, you know, get something to drink real quick and go back out. And he's like, hey, Uncle John. He's like, the Bears just won. And I'm like, yeah, we kind of want them to lose, Gabe. And he's like, yeah, I know, you know, draft picks, right? And I'm like, you're catching on, kid. You're catching on. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't a game I thought would happen that way. And the Bears just played hella good football. And is this going to continue throughout the end of the year? Knowing the Bears' luck? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
And get themselves the 16th pick instead of the 6th, whatever they are right now.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, it's just, as a Bears fan, not trying to be, you know, too much of an asshole, but a little bit upset at them. They should know better. Fox, you know you're out of here. Bears, you know, what the fuck? But Trubisky getting close to that 300, man, 29 yards away. One TD. Jordan Howard was just phenomenal. 23-147, two TDs. Other side of the ball, not a lot to say there. Not a lot to say there. And Giovanni Bernard was looking decent.
Yep.
You know, had, 6 for 68, 11 for 6. I mean, his average was looking good, but that Bears defense was just playing tough, man. And they had a couple kind of weak penalties that kind of put him back, but tried to kick back over to the Bears side of the ball. You know, Tariq Cohen also.
Yeah.
12 for 80. I mean, it really showed that they had something going on here. Kendall Wright, I think one of the first Bears receivers in 100 yards. And
probably this year. Did Inman do it earlier this year?
I think Inman did.
In the second week with the team, but it doesn't pathetic. Happen often because they don't have, you know, quality receivers. But just the only thing I want to touch on Trubisky, he also had a rushing touchdown. But the big stat, 78% completion percentage. And it wasn't just little tiny, you know, screens and five-yard routes. He was actually given the opportunity to open up a little bit and finally did something. Maybe this is a bright spot for the future. But again, this is a Bengals team that both of their starting corners were out. So,
oh, you know what? Wait a
fucking. I'm gonna rain on the parade a little bit here. So, you know what? This is good. You see a sign here. He can beat. You know.
Don't feel like you got to do it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't go for crazy deep. I mean, you got to learn to play it. The Bengals defense. I know you said they got them two starters out, but there's still no slouch. They got a good solid.
There's still
core
guys
defense.
That play in the NFL. So.
Oh, but you know what?
What I'm saying, at the end
Dan
of the day,
Marino jersey over
at
here.
At the end of the day, there's still NFL.
Come off your fucking Patriots win, and you're just.
They're still NFL players, so
still
I mean,
snowflake. To
they're
me.
Not. It's not like they went out there and beat, you know, Cincinnati University. They went out there and beat an actual NFL team, so you know it's a solid game, solid week for them, and like you said, you know, let that top 10 pick go out the window and get yourself one of those real nice mid.
Get
picks.
Another Kyle Fuller who doesn't pan out until his fourth year.
Then you got to let. Then you gotta, now you got to pay him or let someone else pay him, probably.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Next game, Vikings 24, Panthers 31. Big game for the Panthers here. I'll say that. I mean, one for the confidence, trying to get things back going. And Vikings on the other side of the ball, I mean, 10-3. They went from that number two seed to possibly even drifting further down. So Panthers win another game. I mean, they're up in there for that first round bye. Obviously, Thielen been playing solid all year, 105 and one TD. Jonathan Stewart, though, out of nowhere, 103, three TDs. Definitely playing some good ball. It's something that the Panthers need. I mean, I know you like McCaffrey there, and he's got his versatility, but when it comes down to it, you need that ground and pound, and Stewart came out of nowhere against a very tough defense. So you got to definitely give him credit there.
Yeah, this is one of those games I was talking about with the NFC just playoff picture and everything in the NFC kind of getting real, you know, crazy right now. And this is one of those games, like the Vikings had the number one spot. They could have kept it and really like solidified it the next few weeks here. But now they're in the two spot. Panthers are right on the heels of the Saints. It's going to be a crazy 3 weeks in this NFC. And this is one of the reasons why I think a guy you didn't touch on there, Funchess, had 59 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Nothing great, but you know, still a solid week when you get a, you know, 50 yards and a touchdown. And then Rudolph had the other touchdown there for Minnesota, 41 yards and a touchdown there. So
we got a little banged up. He'll be questionable this week, so something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, not too bad of a game. Obviously, I like to see our NFC North foes go down, so especially right before playoffs starting to pick up. So give a little couple bumps in the road.
They're the only NFC North team to lose this week.
Yeah. First for everything. Next game, Redskins 13, Chargers 30. Kirk Cousins, pretty pathetic game. Phillip Rivers on the other side, 319, two TDs. One of them to Tyrell Williams, who came up with 132 yards. Melvin Gordon came in with 78 rushing yards and a TD. Pretty good side of the, you know, change of pace for the Chargers there. We talked about them continually just pushing forward, and they're showing, man. They could be that sleeper that sneaks in that AFC playoff wildcard race, man.
Yeah, right now they're tied with the Chiefs, who they play this upcoming week. So that's a game for first place in the West here at both 7-6. And you talked about Phillip Rivers. He's been one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in all of the NFL the last 4 or 5 weeks here on this current winning streak they're on. I mean, the yardage, he put up, what, 400 and something a couple weeks ago, 300 in the last couple weeks here. And Keenan Allen's a big reason why. He had another 111 yards. So this is a Chargers team that not only could win this division, but the way they're rolling right now and the way that the defense is playing, they could be a sneaky team in the AFC playoffs. I mean, oh, yeah. I'm not saying they can beat a Patriots or Steelers, but they can give one of those teams a hard time. So we'll see how that kind of goes out. Yeah, and like you said, the Redskins had absolutely nothing all game. Vernon Davis had the lone touchdown there. They had a defensive touchdown late in the game, but yeah, nothing for them. So
yeah.
They're dead. They're a team that just wanted to get these last 3 weeks over, and Chargers took advantage of it.
Next game, the goose egg of the week. Jets 0, Broncos 23. Not a whole lot to highlight here. Obviously, Josh McCown going down for the season, which obviously is going to affect Robbie Anderson, where he's going from here on out. Good side of things, Demaryius Thomas, 93 and a TD. Kind of showed up kind of for the first time this year. He's been pretty awful.
Yeah.
You know, pretty mediocre, and you can't really blame it all on him. I mean, the quarterback situation in Denver's just been obscure. So Simeon getting in there, though, and making that happen with 200 and a TD. But, you know, Broncos are – can you believe that they're 4-9 right now? I would have never thought that kind of going into the year as strong as their defense is.
Oh, yeah, because they started, what, 3-1, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is their first win in 8 weeks. And, I mean, that offense really, like, hit the brakes. Like, the teams figured out how to stop them, and that was it. They couldn't adjust. And, yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about other than Demaryius, like you said, and the McCown situation. Bryce Petty came into this game. He'll probably be the starter. He was 2-for-9. For 14 yards. But interesting thing I heard on the way over to do this today, last year, Robbie Anderson at the end of the year had a nice game, and that was with Bryce Petty throwing the ball. So maybe, and then even in the preseason this year, they kind of had a nice connection going. So I'm not saying start Robbie Anderson. This is definitely a guy you got to sit right now and wait and see if you can get to week 16 and him and Petty have a nice little chemistry going. Then you can throw Robbie back in there. But right now, I don't know how you play Robbie Anderson without Josh McCown.
I think he's one of them situations where you just got to sit him.
Yeah.
You know, just not looking too promising. Next game, I really don't even want to touch on. So I'm going to just tell the score and let you say what you think. But Titans 7, Cardinals 12. Pretty ugly on all stat points on that side of things.
Yeah, the only thing I even had written down for this, because like you said, it was terrible, Larry Fitzgerald, with his 44 yards, passed Randy Moss for third all-time in career receiving yards. So that's, you know, not fantasy relevant, but it is something kind of big in the grand scheme of the NFL. And a guy that I've watched, you know, since his rookie year, I was playing fantasy football way back then. I mean, you probably were too. So you've seen this guy. You've seen the stats he's put up for years now.
And probably one of the most consistent fantasy players.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He had that little lull there when they had no quarterback and they didn't know what the hell to do with him. But, I mean, before that, and then since they got Palmer and, you know, whoever else you throw in there when Palmer's hurt, he's been pretty solid and
definitely dependable.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a great set of hands, too.
So, yeah, I mean, Larry, congratulations. Hopefully, We'll see what happens here. Eagles, oof, what a blow. They ended up pulling it off 43-35. That was a good game. Good game on all sides, you know. Rams came out there. I thought the Rams were going to have it. And they're looking like a sure playoff team for sure.
Yeah.
And Wentz going down with a torn ACL after 291 and four TDs.
Yeah, in case you've been living under a rock here and didn't hear, this is why we were talking about the NFC playoff picture kind of being wide open now. You know, yeah, Wentz went down, and it's a huge blow for the Eagles. It's a huge blow for any of the offensive players on the Eagles you might have in your fantasy team. But, you know, Foles is an experienced quarterback. He might be one of the better backups in the league, mm-hmm. but again, he is a backup. He went in there 6-for-10, 42 yards, you know, did enough to get them a field goal to win that game. And you know what? I don't know if they're going to be a pushover come playoff time like we saw the Raiders last year when Carr went down,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they're certainly not Super Bowl favorites anymore or even NFC favorites.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy because as this happened this week, all them top teams struggled. You know, you had your Saints, you had your Vikings, all those teams that could have really stepped up.
And then they beat the Rams as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it really just flipped everything there. And it's going to be interesting here. I mean, everyone's got their tongue out right now thinking like, we got a shot. You know, it's still open for the crown. So.
Yeah. And you figure Philly is going to have to lean on the running game here.
They definitely want to hoist that Halas trophy for sure.
I mean, Torrey Smith had 100 yards.
I had to throw that in there.
Torrey Smith had 100 yards, but, you know, Wentz played the majority of the game, so it was good things for the passing game. But Trey Burton was the backup, Ertz's replacement, Zach Ertz's replacement. He had 71 yards and two touchdowns. And then Ajayi, 15 carries, 78 yards. So him and Blunt should get a ton of carries the next few weeks here just to try to, you know, keep that offense rolling in the right direction and not put too much on Foles right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting here. And Ajayi, like you said, he was running the ball pretty smoothly. You know what I mean? I will say this, not to jump games, but comparing him, apples to apples, to Cameron Drake, I mean.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake. Yeah, Dolphins. Yeah.
Man, Drake looks like a stud, man. And
yeah.
I think it was a great move by him. Initially, I was scratching my head. But, hey, you know, it works. And I think in Philly's sake, they're going to be relying kind of heavily on him here coming down the road.
Philly, I mean, for Philly, a fourth-round pick is what they gave up. And now you have these two, you know, solid running backs that can carry the load for you, and that's what they're going to need. So that might be a good trade for both teams. We didn't even touch on the Rams in this one. Gurley, he had a huge game.
Yep.
96 yards, two touchdowns, chipped another 39 receiving. Cooper Kupp, 118 and a touchdown. And Goff, you know, 199, not a whole lot of yardage, but he did have two touchdowns and didn't turn it over. So those are two of the highest scoring teams in the league, and they definitely put on a show.
They did. They did for sure. Next game, kind of a surprise, but the way the Jags been playing, I'm not really not too surprised. You know what I mean? It was kind of one of those toss-ups. But Seahawks strolling in at 8-5, trying to limp into the playoffs, and it seems like their hopes are slowly trickling away here. Teams are starting to figure them out. I mean, Russell Wilson chipped in 171 or 271, three TDs. But Bortles, those are the numbers you need to have in order to get by and for that team to actually be dominant. I mean, we talked about their secondary and how tough they are, and they showed that. You know what I mean? I think Russ had two picks.
Yeah, three.
Three picks, yeah. Bortles, though, I mean, 268, two TDs. That's all you need, especially when Fournette's running for over 100 in a TD. You know, wide receiver side things, Lockett had 90 in a TD. But, man. You know it.
Yeah, Bortles the last
defense gets it done for sure.
Bortles the last 3 weeks has been a top five quarterback every week, and if you get that kind of production with that defense, yeah, this is a team that could easily go to the Super Bowl. But again, it's Blake Bortles. You don't know. But the interesting thing is the receivers have changed now. Where it was Hearns and Lee still factoring in. Hearns mm-hmm. isn't. Now they have D.D. Westbrook and the other kid there. That Kenneth Kohler.
Yeah.
And they're such a different play. This is what they needed when Robinson went down. They didn't have that guy step up. And these guys are kind of chipping in and doing something for them. So
Keelan, Kenneth Cole is what you're wearing right now.
Oh, yeah. Keelan Cole. Kenneth Cole. That's who sponsors us. But anyway, yeah. For the Seahawks, Russell Wilson. I've been saying for the past few weeks here, Russell Wilson's a league MVP. Well, the guy that was probably league MVP and Wentz is now done, won't have these next three games that pad his stats. Brady was probably the next guy. He's looked pedestrian to bad the last 2 weeks. So if the voters are smart, it will be Russell Wilson, who you said he did throw the three interceptions, but in that fourth quarter, he was ungodly. Like, two deep touchdown passes. Yeah, I think they showed a stat after the second touchdown.
I think ungodly would have been the comeback winner, right?
It's true, but, you know, he can only do so much. The defense let him down there again, and, you know.
Yeah, their defense is just awful now.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Within a year, you know what I mean?
You had Lockett, 90 in a touchdown. Baldwin, 78 in a touchdown. Richardson, 72 in a touchdown. So no matter who you started there, if you started any of those receivers, you had a solid outcome. He gets everyone involved, and this is without any running game still. So, MVP, enough said.
Some bold words there. Some bold words, but I can go with it. I can definitely go with it. I think they had a pretty good showdown there. This next game was one of the games I caught the most of, and I thought it was probably the most interesting this week. Baltimore against Pittsburgh. Obviously, Pittsburgh came back out of nowhere and ended up coming back to win 39-38. Big Ben, he had a hell of a game. Throwing for over 500 yards, two TDs. I mean, he's doing things right. Le'Veon Bell chipped in for a couple of rushing TDs, but the guy who looked the best out of that whole game was Alex Collins. I know he had 120 for a TD, but he, granted, Pittsburgh defense been hit or miss. I mean, when they play a good running back, they can't stop him. But he made it look like they were playing against, the Colts defense.
Yeah, they were clearly missing Shazier, but Alex Collins, for the past few weeks here, I even sent you a text during that game. They showed it on the screen, his Pro Football Focus ranking. He was 13th this year in all running backs. That's out of, like, I don't know, 42 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But 13th, and that's pretty damn good when you consider where he was early in the year, what he did for them, and with the Buck Allen and the Woodhead, you didn't know who the guy was. I mean, he's been really, really good, and if you got him right now, you can't sit him down.
No, not at all. And he, like, you know, you said he took that step forward that is just like, wow. Like, there was that struggle between him and Buck Allen, who's going to take it, who's going to take it. But he was running during that game like he had the position the whole year, and he's just been dominating. MVP.
He is easily the best back they got. He runs hard. He knocks people over. He doesn't, you know, shy away from contact, and he gets big yards after contact. Buck Allen did have two rushing touchdowns, but he only had six carries. So
yeah.
It is Collins' team, and expect more of that every single week. And he's got a very soft schedule. He has the Browns, the Colts, and the Bengals, even though the Bengals is going to be your week 17, but
Browns, more like Brown's chicken. Must be some good shit there, bud. Tonio Brown, though, 11 for 213. Man,
him and Bell. I mean, the three Bs, right?
Yeah.
Big Ben, Bell, and Brown. Man, they the new killer Bs, unlike those Houston Astros from 2005. They're talking
about Big Baller Brand.
Big Baller Brand. Yeah, I mean.
Ow.
Absolutely, those three, man, 506 yards, like you said, 66 passes Big Ben threw. I mean, I don't know if that's a career high. I think it would have to be, but I heard on the radio again today, this is third 500-yard game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the all-time high in the NFL. I mean, that's ridiculous. And you throw 200 to that guy. And then even Jesse James, you know, chipped in with 97 and Le'Veon Bell had 77 in the receiving game. So this was a huge game. I was shocked when I saw that he had 60. I didn't even realize he threw the ball so many times. But it was a fun game to watch, and you know, the outcome was good for anyone that hates the Patriots. Speaking of
Patriots. Wow. I was watching this game last night just thinking like, man, Brad's fucking gotta be giddy as hell right now. Like, Tom Brady, I seen you fist pumping, waking Parker up. Counter motherfucking you like, Brad, shut the fuck up. I mean, Dad, shut the fuck up. I'm just joking. Your son would never cuss, but if he hangs around me long enough, he probably will.
I just learned the word no, so.
It's a start.
Better know those other ones. anyway, yeah, Yeah, I was on cloud nine.
Well, take it over, man. Let me hear what you got on it. It was Cutler, pretty interesting performance.
Cutler looked like the guy the Bears thought they were trading for. Kenyon Drake, who we touched on, looks like an NFL running back, a really good one. Never had this many touches in his career, except for back in high school. When he was at Alabama, he didn't get this kind of production. And so far in the NFL, nothing like this. Landry had the two touchdowns. And the big thing, though, I mean, if you watch that game, Brandon Cooks got shut down by Xavier Howard.
Second year. Put him in a body bag.
Oh, God, man.
He couldn't get off the line.
He was unbelievable. And this is a second-year guy that, you know, they had high hopes for. And he's finally coming around. Maybe, you know, this was a game. You know, when you don't have Gronk out there, it's a big, big deal. You don't have to worry about the middle of the field so much. But it's not like they were double covering Cooks. Mm-hmm. They just said, you take care of him, and he stepped up. And Tom Brady didn't know what to do. I mean,
It just shows how effective Gronk is out there. You know, he automatically gets two guys on double coverage all game.
You had a safety watching him and the middle linebacker going with him.
And so it definitely opens things up. But, you know, not to, you know, discredit Thomas, man. He played a hell of a fucking game, man. He knows how to lock receivers down. And they're talking about, Pro Bowl this year. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
And if you go on that game alone, he's got to be a Pro Bowler. I mean, that was one of the best games from a cornerback this season, and it was against a team that you wouldn't expect. I mean, Brady, the last time he threw two interceptions to the same guy in a game was, you know, years ago, and Howard said, no, not today. Not today, Tom.
Tommy.
The only regret I have is that he wasn't...
Being a Dolphins fan?
He wasn't on his back more. They didn't hit him hard enough more. I wanted Sue the...
He's smart. 40 years old, he knows when he's getting rid of that fucking ball.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he knows he can't take the hits, and...
Which I got to give him credit for, because it's like, hey, you're right. You better get rid of that shit.
You know, I wanted Sue to go all Detroit Lions Sue on him. You know, stomp on him, do something real dirty, knock him out for the year, break his ankle, pick him up, break his neck, whatever you want.
Anything else?
Yeah, he's definitely not the league MVP this year, even though ESPN likes to be all over his member.
Diddick.
Yeah.
Hey, man, give credit when credit's due. I know he's a division foe. I will admit, Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a football player. I hate his guts, but I still admit it. Can't swallow your pride.
I've always said about Brady, he's a very good quarterback. I won't call him the best ever until he retires and the Patriots can't win with somebody else. Because I've always said the Patriots can win with any quarterback. He's been really, really good. I mean, they were a 10-5 with Matt Castle. They are 13-6. Since Brady became the full-time starter, without Brady, they're 13-6. So I think with the way that team is built, granted, he's got amazing stats, but I've always said if Peyton Manning were with the Patriots, they would have won more than three Super Bowls or four Super Bowls in that era. Peyton Manning would have probably won 7, 8, 9 maybe. So I don't know. Like I said, when he retires and he's gone and the Patriots then struggle with replacing him, I'll say, okay, yeah, Brady was a difference maker and all that. But if they come in there and, you know, whoever the hell it's going to be takes over, because it's not going to be Garoppolo, certainly not going to be Brian Hoyer. He's not the answer.
Yeah.
So whoever it's going to be, if he goes in there and just sucks, okay, then Brady is the best ever.
The man. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that's, I think it's easy in my case, and I'm not being, you know, obviously one-sided as your mind's thinking right now, but I mean, obviously, he's shown that. How many Super Bowls has he got?
Yeah, five. That's
ridiculous, right?
Is he 5-8? Five and two, something like that? He's been to 7 or 8.
That's crazy.
Won 5 of them.
I mean, and especially looking at where he was drafted at. I mean, he's definitely shown.
I always get pissed,
stealing the reins from Drew Bledsoe, too, is pretty funny. You know?
I always get pissed, too, because, I mean, he should be 3-4. The Seahawks had that one won, and Pete Carroll was an idiot. And then, you know, last year, the Falcons had that one, and Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn were idiots. So,
excuse me, Stratton.
I don't know, but of course, we got to say that comeback he had was all last year against the Falcons. That was all Tom Brady. The defense didn't do anything. It was Tom Brady only. So he went out there, he played middle linebacker for him. So, but I think we got to move along here. And real quick here, since we're at the 45-minute mark, and you're still listening, I'm sure, give us a call, 219 576-6797. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you got going on for your championship matchups coming up next week, and we'll give you a little bit of advice.
All righty. Now it's time for quick segments of who you got.
While Brad is choking to death, I'd like to intercede. Is that the right word?
It could be.
I want to say that if you're listening to this on whatever platform, we are on all podcasting platforms now under the umbrella of the Green Door Network.
Woo!
John G's Fantasy Hustle is the Thursday show. I'm sorry. John G's Fantasy Hustle is the Wednesday show. So every Wednesday morning, we have a new episode.
Ta-da! Up until next week, which we will be on a sabbatical for about...
Hey, we got to you for the last 2 weeks of the season, so...
You know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Enjoy. Stop being greedy.
So leave a 5-star rating on iTunes and all the other platforms and leave a review that says how wonderful this show is and how it changed your life.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Meow, 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 meow. Ah, that was so worse than your first one.
Yeah, we could edit that.
Yeah, all right. Get it and edit.
All righty, Brad.
Who you got?
All right, I'm going to go with the quarterback here. I got Big Ben. Coming into New England. Actually, New England's coming into Pittsburgh. Or Dallas coming into Oakland. And I got Derek Carr, obviously.
So you want Dak or Carr?
No, I totally fucked that whole thing
up. You said Dallas going into Oakland.
Yeah. I got Big Ben hosting the Pats.
Gotcha.
Or Derek Carr hosting Dakota Prescott.
All right. And you got the Sunday night game there for the Cowboys and the Raiders. But, coming off the 500-yard game Big Ben, had against a really good defense in the Ravens. Then you just saw Cutler pick apart that Patriots defense. So you think automatically, Big Ben is your play here. Especially with Derek Carr has been so inconsistent. You don't know what you're getting at if Cooper's going to play. So does that hurt? Does that hurt Crabtree there and Carr? Because now teams are going to be keying on Crabtree. So if you're thinking Big Ben just had a huge week, Cutler tore up the Patriots defense, I got to play Big Ben. You're absolutely right. Play Big Ben this week. Derek Carr still hasn't really got – he's had a couple of weeks here and there. But still way too inconsistent. And Big Ben is on a mission right now. The Steelers win that game. They basically clinch home field advantage. So, yeah, Big Ben for sure.
All righty.
All right, here's your QB situation. Guy in my league had Carson Wentz as his quarterback, his only quarterback. So he's in a tough spot. But luckily, looking at the waivers, he's got a couple of pretty good options. So here they are. You got Trevor Siemian at the Colts, Blake Bortles hosting the Texans, Joe Flacco at the Browns, Trubisky at the Lions on Saturday, or Wentz's backup Foles at the Giants. So you got five options there. I understand that's kind of a lot, but I feel like they're all solid plays.
You know, on this one, I'm going to go with Bortles. I think he's the number one in division right now. You know, they definitely pass up the Titans. They want that crown, first in 18 years. That's something that's going to be huge for them. And, Texans aren't really too strong right now. And I think that defense is going to eat T.J. Yates alive. This was obviously a week on the flip side of things that I would think about possibly sitting Hopkins. I think he's going to be very unproductive this week. They're going to try and run it on the ground just to kind of make up for something. But, yeah, hands down, I got to go with Bortles, man. I think it's a good play.
All right.
All righty. Running backs for you. I need two out of the three. LeSean McCoy hosting Miami. Alvin Kamara hosting the Jets. Or Kareem Hunt hosting the Chargers.
All right. Well, we talked about it earlier about Kareem Hunt. And you don't have the luxury of sitting around waiting to see what he does this week. And then basing your decision, next week on what he does, because you could lose this week and be done.
Yep.
So with that said, I think you got to play Kamara if he's healthy. And I mean, he had a concussion, and that was Thursday night. So he's had a couple extra days to kind of clear the protocol and get ready. So I definitely like Kamara against the Jets. And McCoy coming off that big game. Maybe they get another blizzard in Buffalo and he runs all over the Dolphins. So, yeah, I guess you got to sit Hunt down this week. Give me McCoy. Give me Kamara.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Here's your running backs. Also 2 out of 3. You got Melvin Gordon Saturday night taking on the Chiefs in Kansas City. I think you're going to definitely take Alex Collins here. But Alex Collins at the Browns or Devontae Freeman at the Bucks. 2 out of 3.
Who's the first one?
Melvin Gordon at the Chiefs.
I'm going to have to sit. Oh, it's a tough one there. I'm going to definitely go with Alex Collins.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's playing some good ball here. Next one, though, I think I'd have to sit Melvin Gordon. As good as the Chargers have been playing, I really think that Devontae Freeman is getting them carries, getting what they need. And albeit the Chargers and the Falcons are kind of in the same position, trying to get in that spot, trying to get that wild card position. I think the Falcons just have more weapons and a slightly better defense. So with that said, I mean, it's all going to come full front. Defense is going to give them more opportunities there. You got to go with Freeman. Got to go with Freeman. All righty. Wide receiver. Now I'm going to need you to pick two. All right? We got Jameson Crowder.
Ooh.
Hosting Arizona. Emmanuel Sanders.
Ooh.
At Indianapolis. Or Marvin Jones. Hosting Chicago. One more. Or Juju Smith-Schuster. Coming back off that suspension.
All right, well, I'm going to just cut to the chase here and get these two names out of the way here. Crowder and Sanders, they've been so inconsistent and iffy. Quarterback play for both of them has been, really bad. And what you talked about earlier, Demaryius Thomas had a big game. Maybe that carries on, and Sanders kind of just – and Sanders isn't healthy either, so that hurts him a lot. So Marvin Jones against the Bears on Saturday is a good play. And then
Juju.
Juju coming off the suspension is going to come back and be ready to go. You know, Big Ben's not going to throw for 500 yards again. But he gets his number two weapon back, and I think he's going to look for him early and often, and Juju should have a nice game. So, yeah, Marvin Jones and Juju Smith.
Right on, right on.
All right, the last who you got? I need 3 out of these 4 receivers. Big name here, Julio Jones taking on the Bucks down in Tampa. Big name, Adam Thielen. He's hosting Cincinnati. Devin Funchess, they are hosting the Packers. Or, guy I just talked about, Marvin Jones, hosting the Bears.
We'll call this Who Don't You Got. And
there you go.
I'm going to go with Marvin Jones. I agree with you. I think he's – I don't care if they're playing at home. I just really think that Marvin Jones is not going to have it. Bears coming off a win. They don't got a lot to, lose. And at this point, their secondary is not playing too bad. Fuller's having type of year to get paid, and he's going to be sayonara, but he'll shit the bed somewhere else, say at least. But I think at this point in this year, I see him definitely locking Marvin Jones down.
All right, so you have Julio, Thielen, Funchess is who you're going with. Now let me ask you this: this is the same team that had those 3 running backs.
Okay.
All right, you sat Gordon. Would you flex Gordon for any of those 3 receivers?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I flex him for Funchess for sure.
For Funchess? All right, so there you have. You have Collins and Freeman as your running backs, Julio and Thielen as your wide receivers, and you're going to flex Melvin Gordon.
That's a pretty damn good team right there.
That's a really damn good team, and he's also got Brady and Gronk, so.
What is this, a one-team league?
Yeah, yeah. Keeper league, so he had a solid set of keepers, and then he made all these trades and got
complete,
all these guys.
Complete keeper team. I gotcha.
It's only 5. But hey, don't worry. This is the this is Boyan we're talking about. So
he'll blow it.
He plays Sasan this week, so either one of them hopefully will be losing to me in week 16.
Well, that wraps up who you got and apparently who you don't. Now we're going to kind of kick in and run through week 15 picks. Try to keep this pretty quick. Brad, I know sometimes...
I like to talk.
Turn into Poe.
Rapid fire. That's what they call me.
Oh, boy. So we got some Saturday games. Pretty interesting on top of the Thursday night. Kind of set things off here. Keep your whole weekend a little bit more entertained. Give you more excuses for your wife on why you can't take care of anything in the house for the past 9 years. But it's all right. Broncos at the Colts. Who you got?
Broncos Colts is Thursday. This is going to be my birthday too, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brad.
I'm not going to be watching this game. I'm going to be watching Disney Pixar's Coco with my boy.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So I'll just say Denver. And I like Frank Gore to keep on rolling. Ageless wonder.
I'm going to take the Colts. I got a feeling that Dot's going to be there. He's going to lie to everyone and then he'd probably call off of work at the gym.
I love the Colts. Hey, they're all right. They're okay.
He's going to say he's going to the Pacers game, but in reality, he's going to go to the Colts game. And
Get Bears games on TV down here.
What do you expect? Yeah. It's all right, Dot. We still love you, but, you know, go blue when you're sick. All righty. Chicago Bears at the Lions.
Well, a letdown's coming. The Bears flying high. Detroit's going to win this one because they are still in that playoff picture. Very, very slight. And the guy I like is Amir Abdullah to come back a week off from injury. He'll come back and have a solid game against the Bears.
I'm going to disagree, obviously. Chicago Bears. I mean, who would win a fight between a bear and a lion?
I don't know.
That's an easy answer. It's a wrong, fucking bear.
It's the wrong show, I think.
Not a polar bear. I'm talking about a fucking Chicago Bear. All right. Bottom line is Chicago's going to win 31.
We're doing scores now?
31-6. I can do whatever score I want to do, motherfucker. And Tariq Cohen is going to run for over 100 yards.
On two carries?
No, six. Next game, Chargers at the Chiefs. Another big game we're talking about. Wild card contention there in the AFC.
This is awesome. This is great that they have these Saturday games because we get to watch two more games on TV if you have the NFL Network, or maybe you can weasel your way finding it on another network or some other shit. But
well, Bears will be broadcast in the Chicago area.
Yeah, they will be, but then this game is going to be on the NFL Network, and it's awesome because it's a great game. It has that division is up for grabs. The winner of this game is in first place, and the Chargers, with the way they're rolling right now, I don't buy the Chiefs beating the Raiders last week the way they did as something significant. So the Chargers got it going on offense, got it going on defense. They're going to keep rolling. And the guy that's going to have the big game is the rookie, Mike Williams, for the Chargers.
That's an interesting take. Interesting take here. I'm going to disagree, though. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think that it is something that's going to be changing. And with that said, I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt coming back and proving everyone wrong and saying, hey, I just needed a 7-week break. And I'm back. I mean, I think at this point, they know where they're at. The win against the Raiders, I think, was huge for them because that was something that they had on their calendar all year, even before all these injuries, suspensions, all that shit happened. But I think it's going to be a big win for the Chiefs. And don't get me wrong, I don't think the Chargers are going to be out of it after this week. I think they're still going to have a chance to get in the playoffs. And if they do, they can definitely be a team that upsets somebody. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Texans at the Jags.
All right, I'll take Jacksonville. Sorry, I usually am better at that. I'll take Jacksonville to win this one. I think they are really, really good, and I'm not buying T.J. Yates. I know he had a good game coming in, but Jaguars are going to win this one, and Blake Bortles is going to stay hot, keep rolling.
Over 300?
No, but I think he'll chip in with enough rushing yardage to kind of make up for that.
Okay. I'm going to also go with the Jaguars. And I was thinking Bortles, and I think he will go over 300. But my pick of the week is going to be the Jaguars secondary. At least two picks, one of them to the house.
Are they keeping Hopkins under 100?
They're going to take him out of the game. He'll be in the locker room by the second quarter. Ravens at the Browns. The Battle of the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, again, to our one Brown fan, not this week, sorry. Baltimore is still in the playoff picture. They're still the sixth seed, so they're going to take care of business against a bad team. They had a rough loss there against the Steelers. So, yeah, Baltimore's going to win this one. Alex Collins, of course, is going to have a huge game, but I'm not going to say him. I'm going to say Duke Johnson gets a touchdown and 60-plus yards receiving.
That's a good pick there, but I'm going to go with the Ravens, and I think I'm going to go with Alex Collins and continue rolling. I think I know the Browns get it. You know, above average defensive line there. And I really think that the way he was running against Pittsburgh, you know, obviously you said without Shazier, but they still have a lot of decency out there. I don't want to see your fucking phone with them numbers scrolling, all right, Stratton. So we're gonna go with the Ravens. Packers at the Panthers.
Okay, this is a big one. Rodgers, will he, won't he? I don't think it's gonna matter. I think Carolina is the better team. Top to bottom, obviously Rodgers is going to need to kick some rust off. So if he does play, I don't think he's going to go out there and destroy anybody. And that's a good defense. So Carolina's going to win this game. And I think Jordy Nelson. If Rodgers is back, Jordy Nelson.
Okay. I'll tell you what I think. If Rodgers is back, he's going to be back out. I think Kawan Short's going to injure him, and he's going to let him know that he was once a Bears fan when Kawan he lived in
Short,
Chicago.
The guy that was supposed to hurt Case Keenum last week?
I don't know if I said that, but maybe I was thinking it. He should have.
Here's the Kawan Short. It's going to hurt somebody at some point.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. But my question to you is, does Jonathan Stewart, if you have him after that big game, do you play him? I think Christian McCaffrey's going to be the guy this week. I think he's going to have a 2 TD game, one receiving, one rushing, and don't be surprised if it's his first 100-yard rushing game. I don't think he's eclipsed that mark this year, to say the least. So that's my sleeper there. Dolphins at the Bills.
If Tyrod Taylor plays, it's the Bills. If they go with Joe Webb or Nathan Peterman, I'll go with the Dolphins. So I'm going to assume Taylor's going to play, and I'll take the Bills for, you know, to be make it official. And the guy I really like, though, is the guy I picked last week, and I'm going to keep picking because he's really good, Kenyon Drake.
That's a good pick. I'm going to go with the Dolphins, though. You know, they didn't play too bad against the Patriots. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right. Kenyon Drake looking pretty good, and Cutler didn't look bad himself. I mean, there was at one point when he could have totally ran for the first down. He threw it like a pussy. Yeah, he was.
I got a text.
He heard
from
them footsteps. I'm like, what a.
My dad texted me like 10 minutes earlier and said, hey, how about this Dolphin? You know, and I'm like, yeah. But you know what? It's still Tom Brady. And there's still time. And this is the Patriots team. And then that play happens. And he says, there's the Cutler we know and love.
That's right. You're totally right, Dick. You're totally right. That is that guy. But I'm not going to lie. He didn't look too bad. He had some throws that were around the marks. I mean,
well, he's always had the arm. It's just between the ears that's been the question mark.
Yeah, that mouse isn't spinning in that brain sometimes. So that wheel sometimes gets off tangent. Bengals at the Vikings.
Oh, the Bengals are in disarray, but
is this because they lost to the Bears and got their ass kicked?
Well, they have partially all these injuries. They have, you know, they're just a mess right now. They're out of the playoff picture, so they really don't have anything to play for either. And the Vikings smell blood in the water with Wentz out. So, yeah, Vikings are going to win this one. And the guy that's going to have the big game, how about Jerick McKinnon instead of Latavius Murray?
I'm going to go with the Vikings, and I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. I think he's been a little bit too quiet here. I think Thielen, word's kind of going out there. And I think whatever good corner that's left on their depth chart is definitely going to pick up Thielen, which is going to bring their fourth stringer on Diggs, and I think it's going to open things up here. So, Bengals, thanks for that win, and I didn't even get to watch it. Cardinals at the Skins, a terrible game of the week.
Yeah, just real quick, Washington's going to win this game, and who cares?
I don't even want to voice my opinion.
You don't have a prediction on who's going to win?
I really don't even care. All right, I'll go with the Cardinals. I think that Larry Fitzgerald may do something a little different. But, yeah, that game sucks. All right, Eagles at the Giants.
Eagles will win this game even without Wentz. I think they'll figure something out. The Giants are terrible. They don't really – I mean, they had that one big game after when Eli came back after the firing of what's-his-face. But now that that's all said and done, they're just going to coast through the rest of the season. Eagles are going to win this game. Foles is going to do enough to win it. And it's going to be the ground game. And it's got to be a Jaye. It can't be Blunt. It's got to be Jay Jaye.
I'm going to go with the Giants. I think this is going to be the time to hit the panic button when you're an Eagle fan. And unfortunately, Wentz going down, just don't got a lot of hope in their backup right now. Starter, I should say. I know Ajayi's done some good things, but it's just not looking good on either end of the ball there. So I'm going to go with the Giants. And as far as player of the game, I'm going to go with the Giants defense. I think they're gonna make them pay. Foles is not going to be able to kind of cooperate there. I mean, I know they got a good running game, but expect the Giants to kind of have something to play for here. You know, initially they thought probably the Phillies going to come into town and just stomp on them, but, you know, they're like, hey, we got a shot. So
let me ask you, those receiving options for the Eagles then, are they must-sits in your opinion?
You know who I think I would play is maybe someone like Aguilar. And I kind of have this theory in my head that a lot of the times, a lot of the backups play with kind of them second, third, fourth receivers, you know what I mean? Sometimes second, and I think there may be some familiarity there. Alshon, I know he's been coming around the past couple weeks, and he's looked solid, you know what I mean? He had that big extension, but, you know, between him and Torrey Smith, maybe, can maybe do some. I would say I would lean towards the bottom half of their receiving core, just out of panics. And even I'd possibly look at Ertz's, you know, backup, another guy that may be their option, you know, panicking at a quarterback. But Ajayi, you know, you look at their running game, you know, Ajayi may be another guy who gets, you know, six screen passes for, 80. You never know.
Yep.
Jets at the Saints. Should be pretty easy.
Yeah, the Saints are going to rebound after that Thursday night loss. Kamara's going to come back. That's a good defense to play, I guess. Saints have been a very good defense all year. Bryce Petty's coming in. So I guess the player would be the Jets. The Jets offense helping the Saints defense have a huge week. So Saints defense is my play of the week.
I like that. Obviously, Saints is the easy pick here. And I think last week, Drew Brees and Michael Thomas had quite a few connections. And I think at this point, you know, as we talk about coming in the last couple of weeks, that's when you really, I mean, you can get started early in the case of like a Kareem Hunt or start to show a little bit of camaraderie between a couple of players, but being able to do it towards the end of the year when it really counts, especially if you're a playoff team, that's what's going to kick in. And I think Michael Thomas is going to have a huge game, probably the best of his year. Rams at the Seahawks.
This is for first place in the NFC West. The winner of this game will have it for the time being. And I got to go with Seattle. They have the, in my opinion, the MVP of the league. Robert Woods is the guy I look at. He should be coming back off an injury. He should have a nice game against that bad Seattle defense. But, again, Seattle with Russell Wilson will find a way to win this game at home.
I'm going to go with the Rams. And you're right. I like Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp's held up his end of the bargain there. And most importantly, Jared Goff has done some good things. And Jared Goff's going to be the guy that I'm going to go with this week. I think he's going to have a really good game. Being able that he was able to kind of reestablish things with Kupp. Woods is coming back. Not to mention, you know, Gurley gets in there on a lot of the passes. So I think Cooper Kupp's going to have a huge game. And I think the Seahawks are going to be possibly out of contention here after this week. Titans at the Niners.
All right. Well, I was Niners. I said I was going to pick them twice. Well, I picked them twice, and then I lied. I took them last week. That was three times. And I'm going to take them a fourth time because I think with Garoppolo, they're a totally different team, and they are capable of winning any game right now. So give me the Niners to win this game, and I like Carlos Hyde to keep it rolling here. He had a solid game last week. I think he improves on that game and has a big game.
I agree. I'm going to go with Garoppolo also in the Niners. I think it's good to see him getting out of his shell, finally getting on the field. You know, it's been a long time, long wait. And what he's done, like I said, with, you know, average wide receivers is pretty impressive. I mean, he's even, believe it or not, he's helped Carlos Hyde become a better running back. Oh, yeah. He's opened the field up for him. So I agree. But my pick is going to be, I think Rishard Matthews is going to have a good game. I think he's going to be that guy on the Titans side of the ball that if you're really debating and you got him on your lineup, plug them in there. Patriots at the Steelers. I think game of the week for sure here.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you have a flex, this is your Sunday night game and not the game we have. But New England, short week, got embarrassed. You know, by I know they only lost by a touchdown, but they didn't look right. I mean, honestly, the Dolphins handle them pretty well. So I don't think they're going to be able to come back on a short week and beat a Steelers team that's hell-bent on winning the AFC. Gronk is coming back, and that will be a factor, but I think the Steelers are going to find a way right now. They're playing really good all-around football. They've won 8 straight or something like that. So Pittsburgh wins this game, and the guy I talked about earlier, Juju Smith-Schuster, is going to have a huge, huge game.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are definitely going to win this. I think you're right. I think they want to clinch it, and they're playing some. They're playing the football you want to be. They're playing where the Eagles were at like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're showing that they could win it this year. They're my team this year. I picked to win it all, so I definitely feel that.
Well, if they
they're picking up steam right now to do that.
If they win this game and Jacksonville loses, they will clinch home field advantage with 2 weeks to play. And even if Jacksonville wins, I mean, you're 2 games up with 2 games to play. So, and one of those games happens to be Cleveland, I think. So, Steelers win this game, they know that they're going to host a AFC championship game probably, unless they get upset in the first round.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my pick is Chris Hogan. He came out there, and you could tell Brady was looking at him a lot. And with Gronk back, I mean, Amendola was in there, but I feel like, you know, Chris Hogan was able to get his wheels back, kind of get a feel for it. They'll throw Amendola back in the slot, and they'll bring him and Cooks out on the opposite sides. And I think he's going to have a huge game, a little bit of a welcome back game, and maybe something that, you know, if you're waiting for it, hopefully you're in the playoffs and you got a chance to use them. Cowboys at the Raiders.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is our Sunday night game. Two disappointing teams, I guess. I'll take the Raiders to win this game. I'm not buying the Cowboys being back, Dak being back and all that. And the guy I like in this one, you know what, even though I like the Raiders, I like Rod Smith to have a big game. I think, you know, he'll get enough touches to do some pretty significant damage.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Raiders. And guy we touched on earlier who I think is going to have a good game, especially with the Cooper out. I gotta go with Cook. I think Cook's gonna have a solid game here. I mean, I know we talked about sometimes doesn't show up, but I think at this point Crabtree's gonna get a lot of double coverage here, and Marshawn Lynch's been running the ball well, which helps open up that center lane right there. You know what I mean? And that's gonna be huge for the Raiders to kind of. I know they need a shot in the dark to kind of make the playoffs, but you know, I think at this point you kind of got to see what you got for next year. You know, see if guys are worth it. I know that Cooper's talking about being on the block. You can find someone to kind of step in there, whether it's Cordell or somebody else. I mean, you know, got to give up that money. You know he's going to want some more. It's a top 10 pick. Final game of the week, Falcons at the Bucks.
Yeah, real quick, I'll just take Atlanta to win this one pretty easy. And my guy, Austin Hooper's been, it's been a while since we've seen him do something. Maybe this is the week he gets back in there.
I'm going to go with the Falcons also. I think it's a pretty easy one. And I think Sanu's going to have a big game here. Terrible secondary. I mean, Julio Jones could be an obvious, but I really think Matty Ice may think twice and just go the opposite way. Well, that's it, folks. That's week 14 here. Before we head out, Brad's going to definitely tip off on the hotline and email address, which is just blowing up. We got so many, honestly, guys, that we can't. Our phone line was off.
Yeah, we couldn't decide which to put on the air this week. We ran out of time. And
that
we
sounds like a better excuse.
It.
I like it.
Yeah, so, give us a call. 219-576-6797. We'd love to hear, you know, if you're playing for a championship game, what your situation is, who you're playing against. We'll probably know them if, you know, you're in one of our leagues, obviously. So give us a shout-out. Let us hear that. You know, we want to hear you. Give us feedback and all that stuff, too. But that's the voicemail line. That's 219-576. Did I already say this? 6797.
I thought you said 555. I'm like,
oh. Oh, yeah. or you know what, email us if you're if you don't want to, you know, actually pick up the phone and call. You're a little shy about hearing your voice. We'll read your email for you too. That's johngsfantasyhustle@gmail.com. And again, I've said this before, John is spelled J-O-N. That's J-O-N.
We don't
G-S, fantasy, hustle. And we're also on Twitter, I think. That's @fantasy_hustle. Thank you. Good night.
Before we cut out of here, I just want to let you guys know here. First off, we will be ending our show next week, as most championships do end. And yeah, if you've been listening, cool. If not, we don't give a fuck. Peace, ladies and gents.